This time we're going to turn to our lesson found in Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. And our lesson is on from verse 17, actually just the first half of verse 17, but I'm going to read from verse 10 on so that we get it in context. This is part 7 of our series that we've had. Shall we stand as I read? Beginning in verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation. And we will stop there. May God bless the reading of His Word. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to You this morning praying that You would anoint Your Word as it goes forth. Your word is living and powerful, and I pray, Lord, that each heart might be touched anew this morning. I pray, Father, that You would allow us to leave here thinking about what's been said, the message and song that's been sung, a precious fellowship of like believers. And now, Lord, open our hearts. Prepare mine as I give forth. In Jesus' name, amen. As was announced, the name of this is Be Strong in the Lord. It's part 7. And our theme is learning how to stay standing. Learning how to stay standing. Knowing the times that are coming ahead of us, we want to continue through difficult times, and we'll be talking about this and using God's Word as we go through this lesson this morning. The verse is short. And take the helmet of salvation. That's our verse this morning. And of course, the helmet protects the mind. And we know that things come from the heart. But we're looking at the mind this morning, being protected, because we find that it's very easy to become discouraged, depressed. It's very easy to give up. And we know that the Bible has a lot to say on the times before Christ comes, that there will be those people who will be falling away. Thessalonians, it says, that day shall not come except there be a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed. In recognizing these times, when Jesus said, when I come back, will I find faith? You hear me quote these. Many in that day will say, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in Your name, cast out demons in Your name, done many wonderful works? And He'll say, depart from me, workers of iniquity, I never knew you. It's been laid upon my heart, not only to go after souls in my heart. I'm not running after you. I would if it would help. But in my heart, to make sure that people come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. But I'm also concerned about those who profess Jesus Christ and wear out before the time comes. And we get this from Matthew 13. If you remember, the word is preached, and there are four conditions of the soil. That which is the birds pluck up and it never takes root at all. But the second and third conditions, they take root a little bit, but by and by they are offended. And the thing that distinguishes them is that they never produce any fruit. There is no fruit. So this morning's lesson actually has to do with verse 13. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand when in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Now, we know from God's word that one of the most difficult times, the most difficult times, I want to be exact and I want to make it clear, that this world has ever known is ahead of us. Now, that may be different than some believe, but please, before you turn me off, and I'm not speaking particularly to this audience alone, but those that listen on the internet, make sure and hear the scriptures out of what God says. You know, my heart's love is to bring forth His word and His word alone, not adding anything to it or taking anything from it. And my passion is that people will be able to stand. It doesn't even tell about them going out and preaching the gospel. It says, having done all to stand. There will be so much deception, satanic deception. And the important part for the Christian is to continue on through the difficult times. 2 Peter 3 and 4, scoffers will come in the last day, walking according to their own lust, saying, where is the promise of His coming? All things continue as they were since the beginning of creation. In Galatians 6, 9, be not weary in well-doing. Be not weary in well-doing. People will get tired. You say, how will they get tired? I believe one way is, they'll be so tired they won't want to take time for Bible reading and prayer. Oh, they might have lots of energy, but in Luke 18:8, Jesus said men ought always to pray and not to faint. So easy to faint when we come to that prayer time. You must believe that Satan tries to work on the pastor as well as on the congregation. And yet this is what the Lord has told us. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. In Matthew 24, as it talks about Jesus coming back again, it says, they that endure to the end shall be saved. That's not physically, people. When you read that, that is not a physical endurance. That is enduring spiritually in our faith. Now, if it were possible during these times, it says even the elect would be deceived. Praise God, it's not possible, but it won't be possible if we're knowing what's coming. Over and over in Scripture, we find Jesus says, as well as through the Old Testament, and God telling, I tell you ahead of time, so when it comes to pass, you might believe. Many people don't have time to look to see what God tells us ahead of time. And many people turn it off because the hearts are hard and the eyes are closed and they haven't taken time to listen to what God's Word says. God's Word is living and powerful. Living and powerful. Jesus said, the flesh is weak. It's the spirit that gives life. The words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Are you allowing the life of God's word to feed your heart? Am I allowing the life that's in the word of God to be my daily bread. You know, we need to feed. I said in Sunday school this morning, I can't go very well without breakfast. I can manage one day, but if I don't have it for several days, it bothers me. Nor can I go without daily getting into the Word of God. Because spiritually, I begin to faint if I don't keep feeding upon the precious Word of God. Possibly there's some here this morning who might not really experience what I'm talking about, but it is for you. It's for everyone. Please listen this morning as the message goes forth and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts. Dave Johnson cannot win anybody for Christ, but I can give God's Word, which is living and powerful, and the Word can affect hearts. Believe me, the Word has affected my heart as He called me into the ministry and I didn't want to be a pastor. But you know, God changes us. And I look for that in each one of us, that there's a changed life because we know God's Word. As we talk about taking the fifth piece of armor this morning, taking the helmet of salvation, protecting our minds. Paul tells us, Romans 12:2, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and that perfect or complete will of God. The Bible is worth taking time to read, and Jesus is surely worth taking time to talk to. You know, the closer we come to Him, the more sheltered we're going to be. I want to be wrapped up in His arms. And that's what He wants. He prayed that they all may be one, as Thou, Father, art in me. I should not use King James, maybe. As You, Father, are in me, and I in You. I want you to understand that they may be one in us. There's a oneness in the family of God. There's a oneness between ourselves and Jesus Christ. Take the helmet of salvation. Again, a repeat. Remember the first three pieces of armor. It talked about having put on. We have put on and are girded with truth. We have put on the breastplate of righteousness. We have put on and shod our feet with a preparation of the gospel of peace. And then it says, above all, or in addition to, taking the shield of faith with which you can quench the fiery darts of the wicked one, which we talked about last week. And now we are taking the helmet of salvation, and I'd like to ask a question, how and what is that? I thought we just talked about justification as we had the breastplate of righteousness. He's talking to brethren. What is he talking about? And there's some discussion here on which way you want to take this, and I'm not going to argue with you either way. Does it mean that we totally depend upon who we are in Jesus Christ? And I think that's some of it. The blessings that we have now being in Christ are truly important. But I think there's something more. And I would go along with Lloyd Jones as he put forth this idea, and it's scripture, and that's why I go along with it, not just because I go along with some person. And that's found in 1 Thessalonians 5:8. It says, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. I want you to think of that. As a helmet, the hope of salvation. That end in sight, that goal. I love this verse because it's in a section that is so important. It's a section that begins, "But of the times and seasons, brethren," Paul is talking to those at Thessalonica, "you have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly well that the day of the Lord shall come as a thief in the night. And when they say peace and safety, then come a sudden destruction upon them as travail upon a woman with child. But you, brethren, are not in darkness that that day should overtake you as a thief." That's if we're willing to read God's word and listen. "You are not in darkness that that day should overtake you as a thief. You are children of the day, children of the light." We are not children of darkness. And it's in that setting that we have this verse shortly following, "But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet the hope of salvation." I love this. I love it because that can be in our minds as a motivator, that goal. Is it only Dave Johnson? No. We'll have some biblical examples as we go on. Paul writes in Romans 13, 10 and 11. He says, "Love does no harm to a neighbor, for love is the fulfillment of the law. And do this, knowing that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed." In other words, the concluding part of salvation, we are saved from the penalty of sin. We are saved from the power of sin, but praise God, there's coming a time when we're saved from the presence of sin. Won't that be wonderful? I can't stand to look around the world today and to see the sin in its rampage as it's flourishing, and people wanting to get rid of God so they can feel more comfortable in their sin. That's what it's all about, isn't it? And those who are going to stand for Christ are going to be alone. "But let not your heart be troubled." Jesus said, "You believe in God, believe also in me." And he said, "I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Isn't that a wonderful promise? He's coming back for us. And the way, Jesus said, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one cometh unto the Father but by me." It's through Jesus Christ. Now, our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. That was found in Romans 13, 10 and 11. Now, I'd like to give you some examples, and I may mix some metaphors here. Sometimes we have as a soldier. But how many remember frequently through the Bible we have one like an athlete running a race? Do you remember that? And we have that stated in 1 Corinthians 9:24 and following. "Do you not know that they who run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize?" In other words, don't you know that when you run in a race, one receives a prize? Now, lest you get that wrong, we aren't competing. Praise God. I don't have to compete against you. This is not competition. We'll show you in just a few minutes. But this is Paul speaking, using an athlete. "Everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. They that do it, they do it to obtain a perishable crown. But we for an imperishable, one that doesn't fade away. Our inheritance, which is undefiled and fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for us who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation." Our crown won't fade away. That should determine how we walk. Paul said, I discipline my body. Listen to this. This is Paul. Now, he did pretty well running the Christian race, didn't he? This is Paul. He said, I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should be disqualified. He said, this race is real. I want to go all the way to the end. That's what he's saying to us. And I would like everyone here to be of that same mind. If we've accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, our desire is to go all the way to the end. He will keep His own. My sheep hear my voice, Jesus says. I know them and they follow me and I give unto them eternal life. And no one's able to pluck them out of my hand. My Father who gave them to me is greater than all, and no one's able to pluck them out of His hand. They that run in a race run all but one receives the prize. We have it explained a little more fully in Hebrews 12. Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. In other words, we have the witness of these who have gone before us in Hebrews 11, the Hall of Fame, the Biblical Hall of Fame, the Faith chapter. They've gone before us. We're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. What does it say? Like Paul did. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. In other words, put everything into it that we've got. And let us run with patience or endurance. The race that is set before us. Oh, this is neat. We don't compete. We've got our own race. You see, Jesus, or God says, those that He foreknew, He predestinated to be conformed to the image of Jesus. And so He sets the race in front of us. And we're running, not competing with anybody else, but we're running to receive the prize. How are we to run? Looking unto Jesus, the second verse in Hebrews 12. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher, the one who's going to bring us all the way to the end, the author and perfecter of our faith. Yes. Isn't it wonderful at times He brings trials into our life? That's how He perfects our faith. Most people I find as a pastor immediately look to God when there's trouble. I'm one of them. Are you? And when things are going good, it's easy to look, oh, I just need to have fun today. It's a warm day. I'm glad you didn't say that this morning, and it's one of the first nice days. You could have said it, but you're sitting here in church and filling it, and I praise God for every one of you. May God bless you, and I mean that with all my heart. Because we could have chosen differently. I can't. I gotta be here. I'm paid to be good. You people, no. That's where all our reward is in heaven. That's where the reward is. That imperishable crown, isn't it? You know, I want to give you another example from Paul. And it's found in Philippians 3. I'm going to begin with verse 10. I want you to see what Paul says. I want you to understand the importance of this race that we're running, or to understand the importance of the helmet that we are putting on and getting the goal of our salvation in our minds to motivate us to go all the way to the end. Paul tells us in Colossians, I think it's 3:14, put on love. Above all, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And that word perfection means that which brings you to the end. And that love that's a bond of perfection that's going to bring us to that final goal is following the two great commandments that Jesus gave. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind. And we're going to focus on that because that's what our goal is it not, to see Him? When Gladys passed away not too long ago, her final statement says she was asked, don't you want to see? And they named family members. She said, yes, but first of all, I want to see Jesus. Are we there? Is that our desire? I pray it is. When we see that we're looking at eternity versus temporary time. May our hearts be touched this morning that what we do will do for eternity. As I look in Philippians, beginning with verse 10, Paul says that I might know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering, being conformed to His death. Notice the sequence. We don't want to suffer unless we know the power of the living Christ, the power of the resurrection. We'd be foolish. But Paul says, if I know the power of the resurrection, then I want to know the fellowship of His suffering, being made conformable unto His death. Jesus said, if anyone will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross. That's an instrument of death, and follow me. Revelation says, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. That's one of the messages to the churches. Now, listen to this next part. If by any means I may attain to the resurrection of the dead. Sounds funny for Paul to say that, doesn't it? I must have made a mistake. No, that's what my Bible says. This is New King James Version. If by any means I may attain to the resurrection of the dead, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. What's he talking about? That race, isn't it? Didn't Jesus call Paul and tell him how great things he must suffer? And he said, this is a race that's... No, he didn't say that. I can't find that in the verse, but isn't that what it means? This is a race that's set before you. I've chosen you. All things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. He has a purpose and a plan for every born-again child of God. We've got family members. We've got neighbors. We've got maybe employers or employees. We've possibly got friends. And I'm going to ask you a searching question. Do you believe in the reality of a living God? If you do, allow Him to make a change in your life. If you've already allowed Him, I urge you to fully surrender. I don't know of any other way we're going to make it through, apart from fully surrendering to Almighty God. I'm serious. I don't have the strength to go through it on my own, and the Bible says you don't either, so if you're kind of smiling smugly there, I know better, because I'll believe the Bible. We need the power of God. Paul says, verse 12, not that I have already attained or already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended or grasped hold of, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things that are before, I press toward the mark or the goal for the prize of the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let as many as are mature have this mind. That's a beautiful statement by Paul. I'd like to close with one more sample, and this is found in Hebrews 10. It's a beautiful portion beginning with verse 35. Cast not away your confidence. Don't faint. Don't grow weary. Don't lose heart. Having done all to still stand, cast not away your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. That's King James. Which has great reward. For you have need of endurance. You have need of perseverance. We're getting weary. We're getting tired. We see all the trouble around us. We need to be encouraged to endure. You have need of endurance. So that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. What is the promise? For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come. He's coming. Let this be our goal. Let this be our motivation, our love, waiting for that time when he comes. To those who look for him or wait for him, will he appear a second time without sin unto salvation? Now, yet a little while, and he who is going to come will come. He will not tarry. There's a time, in the fullness of time, he came the first time. He'll come the second time. Now the just, you know the rest of that, don't you? Shall live by faith. Four times in the Bible as quoted. Romans, Galatians, Hebrews, and first time back in Habakkuk. Now, if anyone draws back, my soul shall have no pleasure in it, in him. But praise God, we are not of them who draw back to perdition, but of them who believe to the saving of the soul. I pray in this message this morning, there is something for everyone. I don't know where we're at. I spent many weeks on preaching about being teachable. Are you allowing the Word of God to come into your heart and meditating and thinking about it? Are you allowing the Holy Spirit to work in your heart and life? Are there fears? You know, Satan will implant them in our brain, but it says, be not afraid of sudden fear, nor evil from the wicked when it cometh. For the Lord shall be our confidence, that hope that we have of going to be with him. See, there'll be these thoughts. There'll be this wanting to give up. Satan's the prince of the power of the air. There'll be satanic problems like you wouldn't believe, and you're going to have to make your choice which side you want to be on. And don't try and walk with one leg in the world and one leg in church. It doesn't work. Be not unequally yoked together. You cannot do it. Once in a while we end up that way if two are married and one comes to know the Lord, but don't try and walk part in the world and part with the church. Come all the way. Shall we stand as we're dismissed in prayer? Our Heavenly Father, I praise and thank you for your presence here this morning. I thank you, Father, for your word that is living and powerful. Its spirit and its life. I thank you, Father, for each one who has come out this morning and has chosen to put you first. Lord, you know hearts. You know the depth of our hearts and our thoughts. And I pray that as you have said, your word pierces like a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and as a discerner, Lord, of even our thoughts and intents of our hearts. Father, I thank you. Oh, may we surrender to the working of your Holy Spirit this morning in either coming to know you, seeking you, or drawing closer to you, whatever the case might be. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God and that precious fellowship with the Holy Spirit be and abide with each one, both now and forever.